Welcome to episode 3 of the A24 podcast. Today we bring you a conversation between actress Toni Collette and actor and comedian John Early, best known for his role as Elliot on Search Party. Their relationship goes all the way back to 1998, when 10-year-old John rented clock watchers from his local Nashville Blockbuster. Cut to September 15th, 2001. 4 days after 9/11, John launched his Toni Collette fan site on GeoCities, which he would run for the next 2 years. As soon as our upcoming movie Hereditary was picture locked, we arranged a screening for John and then floated the idea of doing a podcast with Toni. They had met once before on the set of a movie, but this would be John's chance to tell Toni and whoever listens to this episode about the origin of his obsession and what her work meant to him as a shy middle schooler in search of his true self. Here's John and Toni. We hope you enjoy this conversation as much as we did.
Hello and welcome.
That's a little close, John.
I love this buttery register.
Toni.
Hi.
What an honor to
Hello,
be sitting
here. Shut up. How are you, Mr. Early? Good to see you.
So good to see you. Yeah. So A24 has brilliantly paired us for this podcast.
That's hilarious.
For those of you wondering why.
Yeah, let's tell them. You tell
them. I'll start.
Okay.
I'll make this about me.
As it should be.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a kind of very public history, history that I've made public, with a kind of like true obsession and like fandom for you.
It's so weird.
I'm so sorry. And it is such a stupid position to put myself in for this, because it is like, it is hilarious as someone who's about to interview you to start with that information. However, it is why we're here. And it does help kind of contextualize the rest of my questions. So,
okay, let me say one thing.
Please.
I became aware of this after, let's just face it, we worked together. You haven't freaking told anybody that. And you declined to tell me anything about this obsession.
I know.
Or that you had some kind of fan page. And the only thing you said to me, the other actor was like, John's a really big fan. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
You were totally at ease. I would never have known.
Oh,
the only
God.
Thing you said to me was, I named my cat Muriel. And I was like, that's sweet.
Okay, so we did this movie called Fun Mom Dinner together.
Yeah,
and basically it was like symbolically, the role was like given to me. Like the producer was like, this is the scene with Toni Collette. Like, she had heard.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay, here we go. And, like, and my kind of plan was, like, oh, we'll get, you know, I'll get comfortable, and then I'll, like, find a way to tell you, like, I literally had a website for you. And then, like,
oh,
and I've worked with, like, not to brag, I've worked with, like, Sharon Stone, Salma Hayek. I've worked with people that, like, I love, you know. But I'm always really good at kind of breaking the ice and being like, love your work, you know. I'm so glad you think I was at ease, because I literally was, like, I was like 28. I was like, get your shit together, John. Like, I was like, I felt like I was like rude.
You were rude? No, you weren't rude. You're warm and your normal self. Lovely.
I just was like, I felt like I was doing that thing in middle school where it's like, you want to impress someone, so you're like kind of like cold.
Oh, I see.
And no, I was like,
you were just very professional. You were warm. You were open. You did a fucking great job, and you made me laugh hysterically.
You angel.
Oh, shut up.
Well, you really.
Hang on. How did this even eventuate? What was it that made you even realize I existed on the planet?
Well, this is a great question. So I saw the movie Clock Watchers.
Oh, wow. That was my first American film.
Really? I didn't know that.
After Muriel's Wedding, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that was it. Like, that was me. Like, I was like probably 10, 11 years old.
Wow.
And I used to.
Baby.
I know,
you
I
watched
truly...
that? What made you want to watch that at that
well,
age?
Well, it was, you know, that was, of course, pre-Netflix. So this was like Blockbuster in Nashville, Tennessee. And
is
like,
that where you're from?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Nashville.
I'm doing a road trip this summer and I'm spending some time there. I'm so excited to talk to
like,
you after this.
I have to send you restaurants.
Please,
and, like,
please, please.
Yes,
I would love
it's
that.
It's a great
okay.
city.
Speak later.
So I, like, you know, at that age, like, I was like a little truly like solitary gay kid, like not knowing I was gay, but like it was like something's off. I spent so much time alone. I spent so much time watching movies, and my mom would like drop me off at Blockbuster for like an hour and then go grocery shopping.
Wow. And I would just peruse the shelves.
Yes. And like memorize what I wanted
films.
To get. Yeah. And I always went to, of course, as a gay kid, it's like I went to the Sundance recommend section.
Perfect.
Because I was like, these are probably going to be a little more like sensitive, a little more melancholy, a little bit more liberal, exactly. And I was always like haunted by the Clock Watchers cover, because I was like, I love Parker Posey.
Me too. She was in my dream last night, which is very weird to be talking about her now.
That's
shocking. What was the cover? I can't recall
the cover.
It.
Well, it's so mismarketed. It's so disgusting. It's like you guys in a photo booth, like
oh,
cracking
yes.
up.
Coming
so it looks like this
now.
Like gal pal comedy,
Got
but
it.
It's like a deeply, it's like a very upsetting movie. It's like very, very sad and like very philosophical, like very contemplative. And I rented it because I like loved Romy and Michelle. I loved Lisa Kudrow. I was like, here we go. And then I watched it at like age 10, the credits rolled, and I like could not stop crying.
Oh,
like
baby.
I was like, oh God. And I truly felt this like shift. I felt this like, you know, we
I'm
all
awake
have
awake now.
I really was a Kate Chopin. I was like, I really it was like it's like the moment that we all kind of have at some point, and it's not always this concentrated and like specific, but like it we all have a, at some point in our childhood where we kind of like have a moment where we're like, oh, okay, life isn't fair. Like, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you'll, at the end of your life, you'll still have your friendships, your loved ones, and you might never mean it. You might never matter to anyone. You know, it's like,
wow,
there's
you've quite evolved at that age. Jesus.
Well, I don't know if I could articulate it. I don't know if I could articulate it at that age, but like, I felt that. I was like, something is like, oh God.
Right. But so it, retrospectively, you can recognize it. And
yes,
that.
Okay. Yes. And it, so much of it had to do with your character, obviously, because your character goes through that journey. She's mm-hmm. like this wallflower Iris who's like a temp at this agent, a new temp at this office. And she's like mousy and sweet and like quiet. And she's kind of like shapeless in a way. And then these women, she becomes friends with Parker, Lisa, Alana Ubach at the other temps. And like
firecrackers.
True firecrackers. Yeah. I mean, such a good cast. By the way, Bob Balaban, Deborah Jorup, I could
yes.
go on.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, and then like by the end of the, you guys come together and it's sweet and you kind of are starting to develop more of a brassier identity through these other women. And then these like office thieveries kind of create this paranoia in the office and like you guys kind of turn on each other,
yeah.
And then it just like everyone's gone in the end except you. It's like back, you're alone again, but you're like a little more world weary, a little bit tougher. It's like very good. It's very, very good. And there is a, and I'm gonna wrap this up and we're gonna talk, okay, I promise. There's a scene in the movie where you, with Olan Jones, who I recently worked with,
wow.
She's a psychic.
Yes.
And she says to you, she's like, you tiptoe through life. Don't be afraid to make your mark. And so basically, I watched that movie. I became obsessed with you. I like, you
know. Have you got that statement tattooed on your body somewhere?
I should. I will.
I'm assuming that's what you're getting to. That was the point of the movie for you.
So
did you feel like you were tiptoeing and you needed to
I needed to make my mark. Absolutely. And like, and so I rented Muriel's Wedding, obviously. I did like the most basic Google search, or at that time, Alta Vista or Yahoo or whatever the fuck. and I of course found Muriel's Wedding, and then I rented Muriel's Wedding, and then it was over. I was like, which I think Muriel's Wedding is like it's one of the greatest, first of all, it's such a great movie, but it's one of the greatest film performances of all time. I went to acting school with like all these like straight guys who were like Al Pacino, Scarface, you know, and I was always like, no, sorry, Toni Collette in Muriel's Wedding.
That's very funny. And where did you go to acting school?
NYU.
Okay.
Yeah. And anyway, so I kind of had this like obsession with you in middle school, and then I got to, and I was so evangelical about you. I was like trying to always force my like 12-year-old peers to watch your movies.
No, watch this.
And I'm like, from the six.
Oh, oh. Poor children.
I know. They were like, we want to watch cartoons. And then I was like, at some point I was like, I need to find a way to like productively channel this energy. And I was like, I'm going to make a website.
So what age are we talking here?
I think I would have started the website at like 13.
Far out.
Yeah. And like, it was my job. Like I literally like I would go to school during the week and then weekends, like 8 a.m. just like, and like, I wasn't good. Like I'm not a coder. Like I'm not smart with computers, but I was like,
neither, trust me.
It's all for Tony, you know? And like, I named the website, and this is the most embarrassing part.
Oh, Jesus,
part.
Here we go. What was it?
It's so weird. It's such a bad title. I named the website Toni Collette Making Her Mark.
Oh.
It's so sweet. So, yeah, so then I had this website, and then, like, I would say, like, a year or two into having it, I was like, I'm gay. And I was like, oh, no. Like,
Why?
I have a Toni Collette website on the internet. Like, I wasn't out to anyone. It's like, that's not the straightest thing one does.
Oh, you know I see.
Like I had told so
you
many people,
up with
like,
yourself,
I like girls.
And then suddenly
like,
you were like, this is somewhat revealing.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
I see. Okay.
Exactly. Like it's literally, I'm like.
Can I ask you?
Please.
It seems to be quite a kind of a general feeling that Muriel's Wedding kind of has a massive gay following.
Yes.
And kind of created a kind of, iconic kind of vibe.
Yes.
But can you explain exactly why?
Yes. Well, I was going to ask you about that, about like that kind of like, because I'm friends with a lot of funny women, you know, who like
lucky
are
you.
Thank you.
Me too.
And, yeah. And you know, and they're often like, you know, given the title like gay icon, or they do have like lots of gay followings, and like sometimes I think they find it like kind of like diminishing or oppressive.
No,
or like
why the hell?
Or, but most of the times I think they find it like purely like beautiful, you know. But I just wanted, yeah, I wanted to know, like, you felt that, right, at when Muriel's wedding was happening?
Well, after Muriel's, I mean, I remember. First of all, it came out, I must have been doing press or something in New York, and I kind of noticed, well, A, people were stopping me on the street, which was very strange because,
yeah.
I mean, I grew up in the western suburbs of Sydney, and I friggin', you know, nobody in my family had anything to do with the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it I had done one other film, and then all of a sudden I was being noticed on the street, and I did notice in being recognized that most of them were guys,
yeah.
And they were, you know, really gushing about,
yeah,
it, and there just seemed to be this kind of general response in the male gay community,
yes, yes,
towards Muriel.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, first of all, I think it's like the colors, for just like on a elementary
it's kind of a garish
level.
Camp,
yeah, it's
element,
like that,
yeah,
Sydney,
visually,
like kind of, and of that era too. Like, I feel like there was such a like early '90s independent film, like Todd Solondz, like. And like the stuff that was coming from Australia,
yep,
like there was like such a love of like, it was like,
well, Priscilla Queen of the Desert, Strictly,
yes,
Ballroom,
yes,
Muriel's, that kind of all came through in a bit of a rush, yeah.
And I think there's something about like the way that some great filmmakers were kind of like putting these like colors and characters that we normally associate with like trash, he used quotes when he said that, like these like kind of like these people like in the dregs and the margins of society,
right,
like putting them on like screen in like a beautiful way, like framing them beautifully,
them
and,
value,
and making them the
making
heroes.
Them the hero. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think it's like that. It's so like you feel like seen and validated by that, by like making that person the hero. And like she is, despite her flaws, despite her, you know, a tendency to lie, you know, she is so
generally kind of lovable.
Yeah, yeah. And like, obviously so much of that is because of you. Like, it's like, it's such a funny performance too. Like, I feel like people don't talk, like, you have such dramatic chops,
oh,
but like, you are such a skilled comedian.
Coming from you, that is a very nice compliment. Thank you. But I agree, it is very funny, but it's also quite dark. And I suppose the character is, in a way, finding herself, right?
Yeah,
so there's
totally
that kind of correlation.
And she really does arrive at a kind of like poise by the end. Like, she does start to kind of take responsibility for her actions, and
mm-hmm,
she's like very tough with her dad, the
mm-hmm
great Bill Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there, I don't know, there is like something about that journey, like the way she like learns to kind of take herself seriously, and like it is like
I mean ultimately there's a sense of acceptance, I guess.
Totally,
right?
Totally.
Mm.
Okay, we are going to get to Hereditary.
No worries, sorry, I jumped ahead.
And not, you know, whatever. I'm more looking at the A24 representative promising
sitting her on the other side of the glass.
So, okay, so then you come to America, like it's an Australian sensation, then it becomes like a sleeper hit here, or was it just like huge here? Like, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard to tell from where I was sitting, but Harvey Weinstein sent me on a very extensive press tour, and
yeah,
I suppose it was somewhat successful because it did become a little bit of a hit, and then I was nominated for a Golden Globe Award. And
insane.
Once that all happened, it kind of changed my life completely, really. It really did.
And you were like, I just can't, like, I was so dumb when I was like 22, 23.
Who
like,
wasn't?
Like,
well, you're meant to be dumb then.
You're absolutely, you're like, for purposes of evolution, you're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So you like take risks, et cetera. But what did you, like, what was that like to suddenly have this like international attention at that age?
It was both fun and petrifying.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I have a certain sense of wanderlust, and I'm up for adventure, and I'm open to life. But some of it was, you know, it's weird to suddenly have to formulate ideas about things. People are asking you questions, and then it's going to be written or shown somewhere.
Oh,
and
God,
then suddenly you know, that's a statement you've made. And I just found that very confronting, to have to suddenly know everything, you know?
Yeah, you're
when you're still growing and essentially kind of a baby, and up until that point, and I still actually work very instinctively, so it's hard to talk about what other people were calling a process.
Right,
I didn't call it a process. I was just having the time of my life.
I know. It's beautiful. I kind of feel the same way. I feel like for me, it's maybe more out of laziness, but I want to talk about like Japanese Story, which is one of my favorite performances of yours and one of my favorite movies. And like, you know, it's just, it's unfortunately just kind of only had a big Australian release, was kind of barely seen here, but it is available on Amazon Prime.
You can stream it.
But like that, so they're not going to give anything away, but there's a huge twist that happens like midway through the movie where like you have to react to something that is probably everyone's greatest nightmare. And like, and then you spend the rest of the movie just kind of very organic. It's a very raw movie. It's like just this kind of perfectly made container for you to just like go there emotionally. And like, I just wanted to like, if I saw that in a script, that scene, and again, it's just like nightmare. I won't tell you what it is, but just total nightmare. If I saw that in a script, I would quit the project. Like I would be so scared. And like, so I guess just like, what is your, do you get excited about that? Are you like, is it daunting to you? Like to kind
of have
to go to such an extreme
place? Weird because I feel like I have to do it. I like, I am the one who has to make this completely truthful.
Totally.
And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but there's this compulsion. There's this kind of, you know, there's that saying about, you hungry?
My stomach, yeah, too. It's like the ice. Not
there's
my
a
stomach.
Saying that projects or films choose you or whatever. And it sounds really wanky, but I really feel that that does happen
totally
to a certain extent.
I mean, like, okay, so like in that moment, which like I feel like leads us very organically to Hereditary.
Oh my God.
Because Hereditary has so much of that, just like it's a really, like, to me the best word to describe is like hurling. Like you're like hurling yourself into these
stakes. Do you say hurling for like as vomiting in this country?
I realized halfway through that you probably associate that with vomiting. And whereas I don't. I associate it with great acting.
Okay.
But like there is a sense that you're just throwing yourself into these like very, very high stakes, and it feels very like fearless. Like, but it probably does not come without actual fears or insecurities. I don't know. But
okay, here's what happened. I felt like I was doing too many heavy films. I think as I've gotten older, they've become, people say, how do you do it? How do you kind of walk away? Do you take the character home with you? And I'm always like, oh, that's utter bullshit. Who does that? That's
such
wankery.
I feel that way too,
And then all of a sudden, you know, I was doing these films that really got under my skin. And I found myself thinking about them like a year later. I was like, shit, how do I have to figure out a way of letting go of these things.
Yeah.
Because clearly they are kind of affecting me in a way that I don't quite understand, because I don't understand what I'm doing most of the time.
Right.
And I actually don't want to, because I think it would ruin the outcome. But anyway, so I had said to my team, hey guys and gals, I don't want to do any of these heavy emotional dramas anymore. I don't want to cry.
When was
I want to laugh. I want to go to work and I want to have fun.
Yes.
And that's when I ended up doing
Fun Mom Dinner. Amazing,
and then
amazing.
I was going, after that, I don't know if you remember, I was desperately trying to lose weight because I had a nude scene in this French film. So I was going to Paris to shoot this film called
Madame. Harvey Keitel.
That's right.
Yes, I can't wait to see that. No, I mean, not the nude scene.
Yeah.
but
well, that
movie.
Too. I don't mind. I'm not embarrassed. And so I'm over there, you know, having a beautiful time. I kept pinching myself. Paris is obviously exquisite.
Yeah.
I was working with amazing people. And it was in no way heavy and still very satisfying. I tried doing other films which were not heavy, but it just became like so dull that I wanted to smash my head up against the wall.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I've got to find a happy medium here. Anyway, while I was shooting that, I got a message from one of my agents saying, I know you said you just wanted to do comedies and make the whole world laugh, but I really think you need to read this. And he kind of gave me a little spiel. I was like, okay, I'll read it. And as I was reading it, I was already sucked in, and I called him and went, fuck you. How do I not do this now? There's just no way I can't do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. And it is intense. And but you know what? I think actors fucking ache for a job where they get to really go for it. And in Hereditary, I really, really did.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, Ari Aster, I have to say, I think he's a living genius. I can't wait to watch all of his work.
Is this his first movie?
It's his first feature.
And
he's made some really great shots. Wrote and directed
it. Amazing.
So after reading it, I met with him here in LA. We had lunch together. He's so sweet and so kind. And he clearly had a handle on what he was doing. But then when we got to Utah, I was so blown away. This guy was the most prepared director I've ever worked with.
Amazing.
But, I mean, it's a huge movie. It's a miracle that it got made in that amount of time for the money that
it
had.
It
I know all
so
films cry
too.
Poor, but he just knew every single shot, yeah, every single amazing. Nuance that he wanted, and at the same time was very collaborative. But personally for me, okay, so I knew that it was intense, mm-hmm. and this experience was like a process of resistance. Yeah. I literally just held it away from myself until they called action, and then I went blah, 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 whatever I did, and then,
I distanced myself very away. Beautifully. Like, she's like, I feel like she seems to be kind of resisting like the truth of what's going on, or she feels like something kind of bubbling up.
Exactly,
and, like,
yeah.
And then, like, before she knows it, she's like fully out of her control, like in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never kind of drawn that similarity. But yeah, I think she is. I mean, I think to a certain extent, we're all kind of blind to ourselves. Totally. I think we have to be, otherwise, you'll go insane.
Absolutely.
She's been so kind of consumed by her mother's intentions her entire life, and she doesn't quite understand this very unsettled feeling. And yeah. I guess the story is an awakening in a way, but it's not a positive awakening, as you would imagine, because once she starts to discover the reality of her existence, it is it's hopeless. It's hopeless. There is literally no hope, which is why I think it's horrific.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. She doesn't, well, I don't want to give anything away.
I know it's hard to talk about because there are certain things you can say which would reveal too much. And
I think it is like it's our greatest fear to like, I mean, like we are all a product of our parents' flaws. You know, it's just like biology. It's like
to a certain extent. And I think we have some, you know, we have some free will and control.
Total, and agency and like an ability to change through like reflection or, you know, or whatever. But like,
this particular woman is so under the thumb. She doesn't even realize that her entire life from the beginning has been orchestrated like, by her mother.
Yes. This movie is an example of like our worst nightmare of like what happens when you just like give in to those impulses or whatever, these like preordained things about you, you know. Mm. That's so scary. I never even really thought that much about the psychology of the movie. This is very interesting because it is a very kind of elemental like horror ride, which is what's so great about it.
What I love about it is it felt to me when I first read it like The Ice Storm, like this heavy kind of family drama, and there's a certain amount of grief, and it's all about the family dynamics and how they change when they're all having their own responses to something very, very sad.
Yeah.
And how you survive as a family, how you survive on your own, how you affect each other. And you really get to know these people in a way that you care about them. I think Ari is so smart to have done this, because once that care is established, the film goes, I'm going to take a turn here.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, kind of like Clock Watchers. Like, you like fall in
and
love
Japanese
with this
story. What the hell?
I know. There's like this like turn.
And The Sixth Sense. Yes. What the hell?
Yes. Who, by the way, I am friends with Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, you are? Please give him my love. How is he? I will.
Well, he's great. He's like killing it.
Oh, he was so amazing. He was so professional and so aware of what he was doing at such a young age.
It's a shocking performance. And also, your performance, it's one of my favorite Tony performances, which I know is not a controversial thing to say, because people really remember you for that. But like, it is, you were like 29 when you did that.
No, I turned 25 during the shoot, actually. I remember because
there was a
surprise party thrown for me in New York. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Did you have kids at that point, or one kid? Or
I didn't have any kids until I was 35. I had so many kids on screen before I had my own kids.
My mind is being blown. There's such a true like maternity there, like in that role. Mm. It's like she's so protective, and then you also feel the way the world kind of judges her and makes assumptions about her because of the way she dresses. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like her nails, her big hair, her like.
It's so funny because all those things that you just mentioned, the heads of departments of, you know, hair, and they had a wig, blonde wig made.
What?
And the costumes were, I was trying on all these costumes and I thought, oh, I'm just going to go down to the local market in Philly and buy a few things that I think might be right. And they were doing a test on one of the other characters.
Yeah.
And I kind of came in and just, you know, to say hi to everyone. I was like, let's try that old wig on that they sent. And so it was the wig I wear is actually a wig that I wore in Velvet Goldmine, just done completely differently.
This is too much information for me. I have to go.
And then I kind of explained, I guess, what my vision was, which is how the character, you know, eventuated and how she looks in the movie. But it was completely different to what had been imagined.
I can't imagine her looking any other way.
Oh, that's good. Like me either, obviously. But, but it's so funny that there was this other intention. And they really, it was very collaborative and they really listened to me. I was only a baby. I was 24. And I was like, well, maybe we should try this. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love that you, like, did you have the Velvet Goldmine wig?
Well, the guy, who was making the new wig had made all the ones for Velvet Goldmine. Okay, so I guess he kind of sent some over just to play with. I can't quite remember the details, but it seemed to be hanging around. So I thought, let's pop that on.
Okay, sorry, this next round of questions. Like, what did you love working with Todd Haynes? Fine if you say no.
Absolutely.
Okay, amazing. And I'm a huge fan.
He's so incredible. And, you know, what age was I then? I think I was 24 then. And I wanted it so badly. I remember meeting him in a hotel room in London and you know, doing an audition and just feeling petrified. There was something in me that just knew, it's that feeling of I have to do this. Yeah. If I don't do this, I will die. And I actually have to remember that now because there are certain jobs that come on and I'm like, well, I can see how that could be good. But unless you have that feeling of, oh, this is it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think one should really step aside and let somebody else do it who does have that feeling.
Yes. Yeah, but that is part of that's part of what's confusing about getting older is like the kind of mellowing out. Like I'm experiencing that right now, like in kind of my creative work and like my writing. It's like I used to be so the clarity used to be in my early 20s was insane. It was like I was like, I have to do this, I have to dare myself to do this, and I'm gonna dare everyone to watch it. You know, like
I love it.
You know, and I felt so like and that became my kind of marker for all the stuff that I was gonna make.
Quite
and
fearless. Like, you think as you get older, you just kind of become more aware of what could go wrong and then the fear creeps in. What the hell?
I think there's some of that, but I also think there's something kind of healthy too about like
seeing it from all perspectives.
Yeah. And like I think so much of that drive too is about wanting to be seen. It's like you're like wanting the world to acknowledge this thing in you and like and you want you're like, I know I can do this and like I and then you get to a point where you are seen, like you made these movies and I've, you know, done some stuff. You know, it's like and then it like that's kind of satisfied and then you're like a little calmer and you're like, what do I want to make now? You've kind of lost your like typical guide post or whatever.
Well, I suppose also when you do satisfy a certain urge or a need to express something, then it's done and you have to keep growing. So you have to kind of develop new ideas and needs and there needs to be a gestation period for that, I suppose, you know, before it can erupt.
Excuse me. So what do you want to do now? Like what, like given that, it's like, where are you now in that kind of like, how are you like listening to the world and like with these projects, like what do you kind of crave for your next thing after like Hereditary, which is a true plunge into like darkness?
I really want to work with people that I find inspiring.
Yeah.
You know,
me too.
Really it comes to that because the outcome is not the point. It's the experience that you have. Yeah. So that's kind of the main credential, really. So I've kind of got a small list of people, but I'm really open. I've never had like a plan of I should do this kind of movie, then that kind of movie.
I really just
whatever comes in, I really feel like things are meant to be. And in a way, whatever's going on, you know, in me somehow, oddly, there'll always be something that kind of runs parallel to what's happening in a film that I'm offered or a character that I'm playing. Or maybe I just seek that out so to make it real for myself. I don't know.
Well, it's like you can't help but bring your current experience to something and like, and also the things being written because it's like coming out of the culture. It's like coming out of like whatever's happening culturally. Mm-hmm. So there is all, and like you are in that culture. So it's like there is this feeling of
energetic,
like divine.
Magnetic kind of.
It's crazy.
I like that it's kind of a mystery.
Me too.
Yeah.
Wait, so who do you want to work with? Sorry.
Oh, no, that's embarrassing. I'll write a letter. But I've started writing. I used to write a lot when I was younger and I just have had no time. So whenever I find the time now, that's a real priority for
and
me.
And writing music? Writing scripts?
I've been writing some music, not so much. Scripts, yes. And just different ideas. And I've been adapting some stuff. And
amazing.
Starting to produce a little bit more. When my kids are older, I want to direct. I just don't. I'm already kind of. It takes over when I'm working, so I imagine it'll be even more so when I do direct. But I just want my kids to. I don't want to spend some more time with them head up and do that. What about you? It sounds like you do a lot of different things.
I'm trying to write a TV show.
You are? That's exciting.
Yeah. We've had some like major, me and my best friend, Kate Berlant.
Mm-hmm. Is that who I met in that restaurant that time?
Okay,
Do you still do the show on Tuesday nights?
Yes.
I still haven't? Okay, great.
Second Tuesday of every month.
Okay, I'm gonna try to be there. I really would love to come.
No pressure whatsoever.
No, I don't feel any pressure, but I would like to come.
Well, I'm pressuring you. So you should feel pressure. but she and I are like, we wrote a pilot, made a pilot. It's like the best thing we've ever made. And we're so proud of it.
Congratulations.
It's like, it's very sweet and positive, and like it's more kind of tender than anything we've made in the past. And it's like we're just obsessed with it because it is. I do think it's like the perfect thing for this moment culturally. It's like I think people need like sweet, thoughtful escapism, and like that's what it is. It's like wartime entertainment. It's like Rodgers and Hammerstein. You know, it's like
give us a break, entertainment.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But we've covered honestly most of it, but I do. Oh wait, well, this is a very hard question.
Oh,
and you don't have to answer it, obviously.
Okay,
but your favorite?
Not nervous.
Do you have a film you're like most proud of? Okay. I guess a better question, a more specific question, is there a film that you feel like kind of hasn't gotten the credit it deserves?
Oh, look, do you know? I mean, I'm so excited about Hereditary because it's actually going to have an audience. I have made so many films where the distribution just fumbles and drops.
The preview is in every movie I see right now.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's good. Yeah. You know, people need to be aware of the fucking thing. Otherwise, who's going to know to go and see it? So in the past, you know, that's happened several times where, you know, everyone gives obviously 100% and it honestly is a miracle that anything ever gets made. Let alone scene. There are so many elements that need to line up in filmmaking. I can't even remember all the jobs I've done.
I actually talked to the Spreckers
because
I wrote a paper
both
about
of them? Jill and Karen.
Jill and Karen.
How are they? Where are they? What are they up to?
They're in LA, but I think they're like trying to work on TV pilots and stuff too. But they
are you friends with them? Or
so I wrote a paper about Clock Watchers in college because they were like write about an artist who's like living that you can interview, and I wrote and Jill was a alum of NYU, so I like went to the alumni department, talked to her. I mean, it's historic again. This a lifetime.
You are
of
amazing.
Toni Collette, you know, but yeah. So I interviewed her then, and then like 5 years later, I was in LA, and she was like, "We should get lunch," and I was like. And then we like recently again, like another 5 years later, I was like, we should like, I was like, I just watched Clock Watchers again. It's like still perfect. It's like, it's not my imagination. It's like so underrated.
Oh, wow.
And like we had lunch and like,
I should watch it.
It's so, well, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to host a screening in LA.
You are? Oh, yes. I know that you do that.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I really want to get Jill and Karen there. I want to get whoever's in the cast that's in LA there. But anyway, but we were talking about Clock Watchers, and it was so funny because in my memory, I was like, well, it's a hit. Just because it was at Blockbuster.
Because it was so big to you.
Yeah, and it was huge to me. And she was
revelation.
Like, no. She was like, sweetie, no. She was like, we basically had to beg for distribution.
Oh.
She was telling me, she was like, the studio was like, can you please recut the ending so that they're all friends in the end?
Oh,
and she
Jesus.
Was like, we don't have footage of that. Like, we don't have footage of them being friends. We have footage of Alana Ubach pressing a staple into her bloody
finger.
Thumb. You know, it's like, to them, it's just like kind of disappeared, that movie. And they were obviously shocked that I like knew so much about it. But yeah, it is just
such
a shame.
They loved it, one or the other.
I hope they loved it. But yeah,
I had no idea that happened. I remember that was the first time I went to Sundance. I think it was 1997 because I was about to go and shoot Velvet Goldmine straight from there. That's the only reason I remember that. But it was such a high being there. The whole cast was there and it was... I had no idea that was the outcome for that film.
Yeah, it's brutal. And like they told me that Lisa Kudrow, by the way, I don't know if you already know this, but she was like, you know, wanting to do some indies in her like breaks from Friends.
Right.
And she was like, apparently the reason she did Clock Watchers is because she just generally told her agent, she was like, I want to do something with Toni Collette.
Oh my God, you're kidding me.
No.
Aw. Do you know, that makes me feel bad because before that I turned down Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
For which role?
For the one that Mira Sorvino played, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, so maybe Lisa had pushed for that.
The desire
in
her. That's so funny. Wow. I mean, also one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. I was going to say it, and I was like, oh, that's too...
Don't break his heart. No, well, thank God we had Mira Sorvino's performance in that.
I haven't actually seen it.
Okay, how old is your daughter?
She's 10.
Get her to that movie.
Really? Now?
It's such a beautiful movie about like female friendship. It's like the sweetest movie. I highly recommend it. It's very like colorful and sweet and like deeply funny.
There's so much to watch. I'll put it on a list. Yes, a list. I didn't get around to it, but and Alan Cumming's is in that too.
Oh my god! Yeah. Are you friends with Alan Cumming?
I am. We did. Oh. He was in Emma. We did Emma when I think I was 22. So I've known him for a long. I don't see him all the time, but we get together.
He's
every
so
once
good.
In a while. Yeah, he's pretty. He's pretty fantastic.
That's. I mean, truly, you've worked with so many incredible people.
I agree. I'm so lucky. Yeah. Oh.
Okay, Tony, here we go. So this is we've arrived at the end.
What's happening? What's going to happen
what's
here?
Happening is I Are you going to fire questions? Present...
no, no, no. I hate this shit.
Well, I do want to fire two questions. Favorite LA restaurant?
Gelina in Venice.
Oh, I love Gelina.
Love it.
Favorite New York restaurant?
ABC Kitchen. How do you feel about that?
Love
I also ABC like kitchen. ABC Vegan as well. And
I
the Kachina.
You have good taste in food.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so what I have here, I'm giving you a present.
Holy moly.
To end this podcast.
I'm going to tell people what it is. There is a red folder which looks like there's a bunch of perhaps clippings and musings gathered. Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. What is that?
Well, you were almost right. Like it's full of one relic that's like very hastily made and has like deteriorated over the years.
But, is it that the basis of your fan club? Is it?
No, this is something I made when I was like, hold on.
You're giving it to me and you made it a long time ago and you've had it this long. Are you sure you want to give it to me?
I made it for you because I didn't. And then I got too scared to send it.
Oh, you are so sweet.
It's like a testament to like my like deep reserves of control that I'm not like weeping on the floor
right
now.
What star sign are you? You're very controlled.
Aquarius/Capricorn.
Oh, I'm Scorpio/Capricorn. Well, Capricorn rising.
So then is a Capricorn like the January side of
what
I am?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a collage that I made for your birthday when I was maybe 12 years old.
Oh my god.
And I made, first of all, it's hidioso. I do think I'm talented, but visual art is not my strength. Okay.
Okay.
So
that's
I made
judges.
Thank you. So I made this collage for you. It really makes no sense. Like, oh my god, I really can't believe it.
John.
And like, and so much of it has fallen apart over the years. Like you did something.
I can't believe you still have it.
I know. Wow. So like I remember making this for you and then like asking my mom like find her manager's address or whatever. Oh. And she like found it online and then we packaged it up.
Oh my
and then
goodness.
I was like, don't send it. Like there's just something so earnest and embarrassing about it. I was like, I can't. But it was just that age. You know?
It was meant to be this way.
It was
clearly.
I clearly had a feeling.
You knew.
I knew.
Psychic, dude.
Yes. So this is my this is the collage. I want to just point out what I did. It's so funny.
I can kind of see a bit of it.
Okay, ready?
Oh my!
There's a picture of me
God.
On there, so it says "Happy
oh,
Birthday, Tony."
Cry.
No,
John, that is so sweet.
So this is so cheesy. It goes "Happy B Day, Tony." Thank you so much. You've had such a big impact on my life.
Oh, John, this is so amazing. It is making me cry.
I'm
pass
so
it
touched.
Over
okay,
here.
Here it is. But like,
look at this picture of you. You
I
don't
know.
Even look like yourself.
I do have kind of an uncanny, like, my childhood pictures do not look like me.
At all. That's
it's very
so
weird.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh, you're very cute, though.
Thank you.
Look at you in your little button-down flat shirt.
I know. And then I put on, and then, like, my name is in the bottom, and I
is
wrote.
Is your address written in
oh,
between
God,
your
hope
name?
To God, not.
What does that say? It says Nashville, Tennessee.
I think that's probably just me being like, I'm from Nashville. And I think the funniest detail on it is that I literally wrote above my name, Pesto Pasta.
This is quite something.
I mean, it's literally so ratty. It's like a piece of cardboard
there's
that's
a lot of kind of
tissue paper
and then everything's stuck on it.
And then there's like a piece of cloth, like a kind of purple dye cloth that's creating
a
frame.
Oh, it is. It's like a tie-dye, I'm cool, I'm just hanging out with the hippies kind of vibe.
Yes,
I'm not going to stalk you. Situation.
I was appealing to the part. Oh, one final detail and then we'll go. I was appealing to the part of you that the Spreckers told me about, which is they said she interviewed you, like that you guys had a meeting because they only wanted you. Speaking of lists that only you were on, she was like, we had this meeting and then she went and backpacked with Rachel Griffiths for like 3 months before we shot the movie. And I was like,
God, is that when we went to Ireland? We did this thing where I got a map of Ireland and I drew a heart over it. And then we followed that map, the line of a heart.
Oh
when
my
I was like,
God.
I guess I was 21
stop.
Or something.
Yeah.
21, 22, yeah.
But you and Rachel Griffiths, like post Muriel's wedding,
we did.
Hiked the world.
Yeah. We did a lot of, it was really good to have someone to go through all of that with.
Like, yeah.
She really understood because we were both kind of being flung around the place.
Right.
Doing all the same kind of things. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah. It was great. And it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, please enjoy your collage. I mean, it's literally like, it's kind of inconvenient. It's like falling apart.
I'm going to take it. And I'm
You should take
it
just for the sheer, like, just so I can now.
Can
like,
I keep it in there so
in
I don't ruin it?
Yes.
Pass me that folder.
And this is, and then I wrote your name, Tony, on this.
Put that in too.
People need to know. Okay, this, I'm going to have to read it.
Do it. Oh my God, there's an actual
there's
note.
Look, look, look. Tony Collette.
Wow.
Dear Tony, I just want to, oh my God. I just wanted to say thank you and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Your work has totally changed my life. Oh, wow. My God. Clock Watchers and Murals. Oh, my God. This is so devastating. Clock Watchers and Murals Wedding gave me this awareness in my life.
Aww.
I can't explain it, but it just happened to me. It's like, oh, my God. It's like I do things that will make me happy knowing that I have a limited amount of time here on Earth.
There you go. Far out.
Yeah. It's very groovy. I'm so happy and confident now. Yeah, right.
Wow. Well, I'm sure you were.
I was trying to be. I'm in seventh grade. This is hilarious. I just do what I want and I don't care what others think. Yeah, right.
Ballsy, brave.
I know.
Little dude.
It drives me crazy that I can't put the feeling into words exactly how I want it to sound. But all I really want you to know is that you have truly touched me.
Fucking
hell. Not like that.
Oh, my God.
I love to perform just like you. This is amazing. And I was upset that I never got to see the wild party.
Oh, did you never see it?
No. Oh. It was in Nashville.
Yeah, I guess it's an Keep expensive working hard. Ticket.
This is shocking. Keep working hard and happy 28th.
I was 28. Saturn return, 28.
And also, that would have been such a cool, sweet thing from a kid as a 28-year-old.
Yeah,
I should have sent it, but I also, but now you get it now.
This is amazing at any age to receive.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, you kind of make films in a bit of a vacuum. You know, you have an experience with everyone on set and then it's, you don't really follow the life of it, or you kind of hope that it speaks to someone, but to be sitting here with you now years later and knowing how it affected your life in a somewhat positive way and
deep really
way.
Did. It really, really did.
That makes me feel pretty good.
Okay, anyway, please take the collage.
I want to reiterate, it's falling apart. I have a feeling that this meeting today and this conversation is long overdue.
It really is.
You are beautiful.
Oh
Thank
my God,
you, so
you are beautiful too, Tony. This is a true dream come true. Thank you, A24, for putting this together.
Oh,
and
wild.
Everyone see Hereditary or burn in hell.
I mean, do what you must. Yeah, go see it.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Early.
Thank you, John, for that endorsement. Hereditary comes out June 8th. We encourage you to follow his instructions. Look out for episode 4 next month. And as always, send thoughts and feedback to podcast@a24films.com. The A24 podcast is produced by us, A24. Special thanks to Doug and Aaron at Robot Repair, who composed our theme.